Let's turn in God's Word to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. This evening, reading verses 11 through 17. Ecclesiastes 8, verses 11 through 17. And before we read God's Word, let's pray to the Lord. Our Father, thank You again for knowing all things, which means You're sovereign over all things, which means You even speak down Your Word to us here to grant us this minuscule amount of Your Word, and yet that Word which is eternal. And so, Father, we ask that You would grow us in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. That we would apply this, and we would have applied to our lives this Word of Yours. And we would put on those remedies against the vanities of this world. In this we are insufficient. And so we call upon You by Your Spirit to work it in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. These are God's words. Because sentence against an evil work is not exhausted speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, and that there be just men, unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom, and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. Those are God's words. Again, the message of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. We put on vanities and lust after vanities, and yet they will always remain futile, worthless things that only pull us down to that inevitable last breath that we will ever have on this earth. And we will all die the same. You can have your vanities, Or you can have an eternity of blessing. There's only two options. Only two options. You can have what you can see now on this earth. And as you look out, we walked out after worship this morning, there's trash flying around. Is that what you want? That's the things of this earth. Dust. We were working at the Nichols yesterday, dust in our lungs, right? Is that what you want? You can have what you see now on this earth, or you can look above the sun for a life hereafter that will be forever an infinite of blessing. And so today, what are the remedies to these vanities? How can we who love the Lord, who hate vanities, turn from those vanities? To put to death the vanities of this world. Wisdom. is the answer we've heard, wisdom, to put on wisdom. And for wisdom, you must look above the sun to the Lord, even to Jesus Christ, His Son. What is needed is by God's grace to put on that heavenly mindedness or and that eternal mindedness and keep looking to the Lord and His Word, pleading for His Spirit to work in us, to put to death the vanities and put on the remedies, put on the righteousness, the wisdom of Christ. Of those remedies we've already looked at in wisdom and dealing with the civil magistrate, we've looked at wisdom and being prepared for whatever God's providence may bring in our lives. The next remedy in our first point this evening is wisdom and evil prolonged. Wisdom and evil prolonged. You look at verse 11. It says, because sentence or judgment... because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And so whether it be evil rulers or workers of wickedness, the question here is of justice. How many times have you experienced yourself or seen in the news or know of others experiencing something bad happening to them, some wickedness, and evil has come upon them from another person? And someone hurts you. Someone murdered a family. You see on the news all the time. A drunk driver survives a car accident, and the drunk driver hit, those people who got hit by the drunk driver die, paralyzed, whatever it be. But the drunk driver walks away, fine. And he lives his life. You think of the wealthy, as we've looked at those who oppress the poor, whether in corporations, whether as bosses, owners of businesses, or to their workers, whether the government to its citizens, and the list goes on of the wickedness prevailing and oppressing people. And in those many circumstances, we could come up with thousands of more instances just amongst ourselves probably if we just sat down and wrote a whole list of wickedness done to people. And justice not coming about. And those many circumstances you think of, those wicked, evil people doing those things to God's people or to anyone, really, just in the looking out into the world. And what happens to many of those people, most of those people, they go unharmed. They are unpunished. And many even prosper. And yet he who sits in the heavens over the magistrate, over all nations, over all peoples, Christ Jesus, the mediatorial King, He sits enthroned, beloved. He rules. He's sovereign. Do you think He doesn't see all that happens? We just sang about that. He knows all things. You cannot escape from His presence. Jesus Christ knows. Our God knows. Do you believe that He doesn't know all the thoughts and intentions of the heart? Of course He does. Of course He knows this. You know this about Him. And wisdom means what? That you know this, that Christ reigns on high. And you look above the sun. And you know He's reigning. And that it is in the providence of God that the wicked continue to prosper even in their wickedness. It seems they're strengthened. It seems they're hardened in their wickedness. Where's their wickedness come from, we might ask? It comes not from their parents, not from society, not from their upbringing or the culture or anything. It comes from their own hearts. What's in their hearts? There's some even of the wicked who profess faith in Jesus Christ. The most viewed, probably the people that we think of who are the wicked who profess faith in Christ that we often see in our day are politicians. They're probably the most visible who do this. Of course, there's many in the church. But politicians, many say they go to church. Many do go to church, all to get a vote, the Christian vote. Their wickedness comes from their hearts, from the very root of atheism. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the God of Scripture. They might believe in a God. They might say they believe in a God. False gods, idols, etc. But if it's not the God of Scripture, it's atheism. Because there's no other true God. All others besides the true God, the triune God, are false. And so even to believe in a false God is atheism. Because they don't believe in God, the true God. And because they're evil and wicked and atheists, how do they live? They live like nothing can touch them. They go on in security, presumptuously, presuming upon the goodness and long suffering, or the abusing the goodness and long suffering of the Lord, which should have what? Which should have led them to repentance. People ask all the time, we just want justice. You know, wickedness happens, something bad happens to someone. We just want justice. You know, that's what you hear in society. That's what you hear in the church even. We want justice. Of course we want justice. When will justice come? Justice has been perverted. And the verse says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. What is the Lord saying to us there? This is often the way it's supposed to be. That's what He's saying. We've seen it all too often. Justice does not come quickly. Sometimes then we question God. Why, God? Why isn't immediately that justice comes? Right? We ask that question. Why doesn't justice immediately come? And I would look at you and I'll say, look at yourself, Christian. Ask yourself that question. Why didn't the Lord immediately execute judgment upon me? Upon you? Ask that of yourself at the moment of conception. Born in union with Adam. Original sin, already ours. Covenantally, you are a sinner in the sight of God. And the wages of sin is what? Death forever and ever and ever. Why didn't the Lord execute His justice immediately upon you? What's your answer? Because He's a merciful God and a gracious God, steadfast and filled with loving kindness and long suffering. 2 Peter 3, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Romans 2, it says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Why is God long-suffering with you? And why is He long-suffering with the wicked? So that those He's chosen, the elect, even among the wicked, out there still acting in their wickedness, that some, that many, should repent and turn, looking above the sun to Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. That's why. That's the answer Scripture gives. But what does this verse say besides that? It says that sentence is pronounced against every evil work. It infers that, right? Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. But it's implying that it is executed, just not speedily. Sentence is pronounced, judgment is pronounced against every evil work. True justice will come about against every act of wickedness. Wisdom sees this, right? We're supposed to put on wisdom. Wisdom sees this. You see an act of wickedness, justice doesn't come about speedily. You know why. And sentence is pronounced. They don't believe in God, they're condemned already. And true justice, their punishment will come about, every act of wickedness, at the right time. Wisdom sees this. When you have a lack of wisdom, you see the wickedness happening in the world and done by the wicked, and you fret and you pour out your emotions. Why, Lord? Why aren't they coming under the magistrate, coming with the sword and putting them in prison and punishing them? Why do they keep prospering? But wisdom sees that they're condemned already. And justice will come unless the Lord saves them. And then justice is still brought about, but upon Christ alone. Isaiah 3, verse 11, it says, "Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with them, with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him." Wisdom sees this, knows this, looks above the sun, even while the wicked do wicked things to you. Wisdom looks above the sun to Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne over all the church, over all nations, over all peoples, over all the oppressors, over all the wicked. And He is patient and He's long-suffering, and He, at the right time, He will judge the wicked. Know this. Wisdom knows this. Believe this. And trust the Lord to be faithful to who He is, to His promises. To judge, and to judge justly. He says to you who are wise, to you who are His people, verse 12, "Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him." We just read Isaiah 3, verse 11. We're going to read it again, but with the verse before that. Verse 10. It says, "Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him." The order of God's promise there, that's Isaiah 3, verses 10 and 11. The order of God's promise there seems to be backwards or opposite of what we experience. That goes back to verse 11. It seems to be against what we experience. What we experience is not always reality. The greatest reality is found in the promises of the Lord. You have to believe that God will be faithful to what He says, faithful to what He promises. Even when your experiences show otherwise. Because our experience says what? Verse 11. The wicked, they go on, they keep being prosperous, and they're not dealt any judgment, or very little. But God says it will be ill with them. And the righteous, though oppressed, that's what our experience is, oppressed, they will eat the fruit of their doings. If you want to be wise, you need to believe and trust the Word of God, His promise. And here is whether it will be good with you. How will we know if it will be well with you, well with us? It is well with them, it says, that fear God, which fear before Him, that means which fear before His face. Do you fear the Lord? If you fear the Lord, it will be well with you. What is the fear of the Lord? That's if you've been here a while, you've heard what I believe is the best definition of what is the fear of the Lord besides what we find in Scripture. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But Charles Bridges, he says, "But what is this fear of the Lord? It is that affectionate reverence by which the child of God bends himself humbly and carefully to his Father's law. His wrath is so bitter, and his love so sweet, that hence springs an earnest desire to please Him, And because of the danger of coming short from his own weakness and temptations, a holy watchfulness and fear that he might not sin against him. What is the fear of the Lord? It's an affectionate reverence, full of sweetness and joy and watchfulness and fear that we would not sin against the Lord. The character of the godly is a sincere fear of God, trembling before His presence, before His face. Look above the sun. This is what, in part, this means to fear the Lord. Isaiah 8, it says, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread, and He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." To the wicked, He's a stumbling block, a rock of offense. To those who fear God, He's a sanctuary. A place where we come into and are made holy and set apart. And yet the wicked consistently attack those who fear God. Consistently attack those of the righteous. That's been ingrained in our sinful nature and of the wicked since the beginning. Genesis 3, there's enmity, there's hostility between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. These are the things that we cannot be surprised about when the wicked attack us as the people of God. We're not surprised about it. Wisdom is not surprised about it. We expect it. That's wisdom. We expect to be attacked and wickedness to happen and for the wicked to prosper. And so what do? We keep looking above the sun. We keep looking to the Lord. We know what will happen with the wicked. We know what, even though we have verse 11, it shows us, it promises us something. God will bring judgment upon them. Not quickly, but He will. Keep looking above the sun. And here verse 13. "But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God." Here's the wicked. They do their wickedness. They're in their vanities and vanities upon vanities. And they're prolonged. They prosper. And God says, that's a shadow. This time under the sun, that's just a shadow compared to eternity. It's here and gone. Why will it not be well with the wicked? Because the wicked do not fear God. They do not fear before His face, in His presence. And the end, what does the end look like? God's people look above the sun. Psalm 55, it says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee." That's wisdom. Psalm 55. Christ sits enthroned. What will the judgment be? John 5, he says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." God has His promises. Jesus promised us. Wisdom trusts His promises, that He's faithful. Verse 14. It says, "There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men upon whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous." I said that this is also vanity. And so there are just men, righteous men that he saw, righteous, godly men, Solomon saw, that had suffered very hard things. As if the wicked had done such things and this is what they received. But it's not the wicked who did it and received these things. It's the just, it's the righteous. And they're receiving what it seems like, up under the sun, what the wicked deserve. And in this life, even continued for a long time, as if they were being punished for some great wickedness, even though they've done nothing. evil against God in Christ. And Solomon saw in his experience the wicked men who prospered were rewarded as if they had done many good deeds. One theologian says, we see the just righteous. We see the just troubled and perplexed in their own minds. The wicked, easy, fearless, and secure. The just, crossed and afflicted by the divine providence. The wicked, prosperous, successful, and smiled upon. The just, censured, reproached, and run down by the higher powers. The wicked, applauded and preferred. That's just looking at experience, like Solomon was doing. This could cause some to turn to God and shake their fist at God and say, why, God? Why do you do this to us? Why, we're being faithful unto you. We're following your ways, not perfectly, but in Christ. We're doing these things according to your word. We're being faithful. We're trusting in you. And yet these things keep happening to us. And yet the wicked prosper. Why, Lord? And you question God and you're angry at God, perhaps. But Solomon directs our hearts in wisdom. What does wisdom do? Wisdom isn't going to get in God's face and be angry at Him. Wisdom comes before the face of God humbly, we just heard, and fears Him. This is the God who can do way worse than what you're experiencing to you. And this is the God to whom this and way worse you deserve, eternal judgments forever and ever, and yet has been merciful to you and has not given that to you. And so you come humbly and you fear Him. And in verse 14, turn now to the world and say, that's vanity. So not only do we come before the face of God and not get angry at Him, not shake our fist at Him, we come with wisdom, we come humbly, we come fearing Him, we also turn to the world and say, that's wicked. That's vanity. They do wickedness and they prosper, but that's still vanity. It's futile, it's worthless. It seems good at this time in this world under the sun, but it's vanity. That's futile, it's worthless. Call it for what it is. It's vanity. Say it. Say it out loud. Say it to your spouse. Say it to your family. That's vanity. Teach each other wisdom. That's what Solomon is trying to direct our hearts to here. Look at the world and exclaim, vanity! And wisdom then looks above the sun in the midst of that evil being prolonged, looking to Christ who sits enthroned, who will judge the wicked at the right time, for He promises so. And first, patience is needed as that they might, as many of you have here, that they might repent of their sins and turn to Christ alone for their salvation. You look to Christ who sits enthroned and you pray for your enemies. Pray for the wicked. Even in their prospering, pray for them that they would see God's long suffering with them, even in their wickedness, and they would repent and turn to the Lord and Christ for their salvation. That's what wisdom does. That's why it makes sense that we love our enemies. We pray for our enemies, even those who hurt us. Because that's wisdom. And then verse 15, then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life which God giveth him under the sun. We don't fret about the wickedness happening. We don't stand perplexed, rather cheerfully enjoy what God has given us in the world. Right? We could hide ourselves away and not live our lives and not even come out into the world and refrain from worship. And Solomon is saying here, no. Solomon teaches us wisdom. Come out. Live your life in this world, Christian, as a Christian. Not as someone wicked, not in the vanities, but as a Christian. Live it to the full. Be content with your life and with whatever comes in God's providence. Live it to Him. Looking to Him. He commends mirth, joy, a holy security and peace of mind arising from whom? Not the vanities, but a confidence in God, in His power, in His providence, in His promises. Under the sun, none of us have anything better than to live life looking above the sun and enjoying what God has provided. And the words here, to eat and to drink. Cheerfully thankful for the Lord and His blessings to us. Know this, that our lives here under the sun, they're under the sun, but we look for the life of the world to come. As long as the Lord has given us days to live here as you look above the sun. A heavenly mindedness, an eternal mindedness as you live here. As you live wisely with wisdom and union with Christ. Philippians 4, verse 11. Says, not that I speak in respect of want or lack, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And 2 Thessalonians 3, now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Right, putting off the ways, the vanities, the wickedness. Putting on faithfulness to the Lord. We need wisdom. You need wisdom in the face of evil prolonged. And that means, above all, trusting the Lord's promises that He will, at the right time, judge the wicked and bless the righteous. And so now, fear the Lord. Live your life continually looking to Christ for life, for strength, and every good thing. And pray for the wicked. Pray for your enemies that they would repent and believe on Christ for their salvation. That's what wisdom does as evil is prolonged. And then the second point, lastly, in this chapter, wisdom and God's unsearchable counsels. Wisdom and God's unsearchable counsels. Verse 16. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. Solomon applied his heart to know wisdom. He sought and sought after wisdom all of his life. And so he can search and study wisdom and search out the reason for things with him and even the reasons for the wicked prospering and the righteous suffering, to understand, to grasp the Lord's providence, who the Lord is, why all things happen which are according to God's providence happen that way. Why does the Lord decree such things from all eternity to occur? Even many sleepless days and nights seeking why. Why, Lord? And we can go on in great emotional responses and quickly and rashly judge a situation wherein the wicked do wicked things and prosper in their wickedness and the righteous suffer and are afflicted and no justice seems to come about. And can you come up with a clear, distinct, and satisfactory account of all the works of God's providence in the world? To comprehend the reason, the reasons for things, to reconcile all the seeming absurdities and incongruities which appear in them, to look and to look exactly into the makeup and ways of so many infinite and seemingly contrary events which make up a great masterful composition as God brings about in this world. You could spend eternity attempting to figure it out, and you will not, with many sleepless days and nights. And then he says, verse 17, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. Of all the infinite counsels of the Lord, they're unsearchable. Of the reasons why, the secret judgments we will never see, the infinite wisdom of God. Job 11 says, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea." Psalm 36, we could go on many passages. Psalm 36, "Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast." Psalm 92, "O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep." These are the things you cannot attain with wisdom or toiling for it. That doesn't mean we just sit back and do nothing, never seeking to meditate upon the works of the Lord. We're directed to do that by the Lord in our fear of Him. He says, "The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. These works are to be made known to the nations," the psalmist says. Well, how will you make it known to the nations if you don't know them and study them? You have to. And so you search and you search, and you come to just plain adoring the depths of the Lord's wisdom, and to rest in them satisfied that whatever He does, however contrary they may seem to human reason and sense, that all of His counsels, all of His decrees are executed wisely, full of holiness, righteousness, and justice. And we know the end. We know the end of what should be in our minds. Romans 11. The end of Romans 11. "Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." God's people, this evening, we've really learned two things. That the wicked will be judged, and yet the Lord is patient and long-suffering in their wickedness so that they might turn unto Him in repentance and believe on Christ for their salvation. Maybe you're the wicked one, the evildoer. And Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And so repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus for your life. The second thing is that of the unsearchable counsels of our great God. They may be wonderful and secret, but they are never, never unjust. And so that when we are unable to understand them, and we must stand back and admire and adore His wondrous works. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful again for Your life-giving Word, Your Word that is full of wisdom, is righteous, is perfectly just and true. We pray that we would be people who meditate upon Your Word day and night, that we would know Your promises, and that by Your Holy Spirit You would make us to believe Your promises and trust in Your providence promises. And when Your dark providences come or the wickedness attack us, that we would look above the sun in wisdom, knowing that You're the God of unsearchable counsels who will bring about justice at the right time, at the perfect time, even upon the wicked, and even to us, in union with Christ. Lord, may it be that all of us here be judged in union with Christ, lest we be destroyed forever and ever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.